Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
I am not who I used to be.
Oh man, I'm not who I used to be. Oh,
is it thank God that I'm not who I used to be, or God help me to get back to who I used to be? I mean, when we talk about I'm not what I used to be, you know, we have to think of it as in a positive way, but it could also be in a negative aspect. I'm not who I used to be.
Oh,
yes. I'll allow myself to slip, to fall, to backslide, and I'm trying to get back to where I used to be because I'm not what I used to be.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be the perception of the person. I'm not who I used to be.
My Lord. It's definitely going to be a great song. I'm so excited. What about you, Les?
Oh, I'm very excited about the show. I'm not who I used to be. I actually have a story to tell about who I used to be and who I... Oh, my.
Tell me something new about yourself, right?
Oh,
you're going to learn something. You're going to learn me something. Again, welcome to the show. Tawanika Manny. And if you just now tuning in to the Preaching the Pastor show, we're talking about I Am Not Who I Used to Be. We're so excited. Today we have a special guest on the show. We have Prophetess Tressa Cooper on the show. So we definitely are super, 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 super excited to have her on the show today. So if you're just now tuning in, we're talking about I Am Not Who I Used to Be. And I thank God that I'm not who I used to be. I'm excited what God is doing in me and for me and my husband and the walk that we're walking. I'm no longer walking down the road that's a dead end. I'm walking down the road of opportunities, of greatness. I'm walking down the road that brings blessings and favor. Hallelujah. So this show is a self-check. evaluate how we have changed or that change is necessary for what God has for us. We will look at where we are now and where we used to be, question ourselves, have I changed for the better or for the worse? Though change is always necessary in our walk with God and allowing ourselves to be changed by the renewing of our mind and dying to the old us and living in new, which is in Christ. Amen.
Amen. You know, that's one of the things that nobody really wants to do is change. Nobody really wants to change. If you remember when you was at your your highest potential, which that is actually in the mind, sometimes it's right there when you was were in your teen years or in your glory 20 years. Oh, man, we was a person that we thought that was just God's gift to this world.
Speak for yourself.
Or am I just speaking about myself? Let me just speak. So maybe I'm just speaking about myself. Oh, my. About 18 to 20 years ago, I was real thin. I just call it skinny. I was real thin. I was about 100 and maybe 75 pounds, about 6'3", 175 pounds. It was like, I'm not the person I used to be now, so don't start thinking about that person. That person gone.
Oh,
yeah, I was about 175 pounds. Yeah, I was. And, you know, I can run real fast. You know, I can do things that I can't do those things now because, you know, I'm much hairier. Not too hairy, but much hairier now. And, you know, I'm much older now. But I thought that that person, that's the person that I was always going to be. I was always going to be that person. And then, you know, life just happened and things changed. You know, I started to gain a little bit of weight and I had long black hair and, you know, now the hair is kind of gray now and it's not as thick as it used to be. So there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things, you know, that changed.
I'm laughing only because you're making it seem like you have a lot of, I don't even see any gray hair on your head. You may have a couple of strands of gray hair in your goatee, but don't let him fool y'all. He does not have this gray hair that he's talking about.
Well, I didn't have any. I didn't have any at the time, you know. And so I'm just saying that, you know, I'm not the person that I used to be. I was closer, you know, to 20 years old at that particular time. So, you know, definitely I'm not the same person that I used to be. And when I did start to see, you know, things that were changing, you know, there was characteristics that had changed. There's a lot of characteristics, you know, that changed. Cause I'm like, wow, you know. Oh, why can't I do this anymore? This hurts. You know, I can't do all these different types of things. So, yeah, definitely change. That's one of the things that most people do not want to deal with is change.
Amen. Physical change, especially as we talk about changing, renewing of the mind, and what the Bible says about renewing our minds, being transformed. The Bible declares in Romans 12:2 that, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we're talking about change and allowing God to change, that's a whole different change. Not only do you change spiritually, but you change physically. I don't know about you, but when I accepted Christ, when I was ready for change, and I realized now I'm not who I used to be because I allow God to change me to be what God has called me to be. But when we're talking about the physical part of it, yes, we can go back when we were younger, you know, we were thinner, had more hair, or we had this certain weight, or, you know, you gained weight now, you lost weight now, you look better then, you look better now, you don't look as good, you have more money then. I'm not who I used to be because of things, or I'm not who I used to be because of Christ. And that's a totally different aspect of looking at I'm not who I used to be, or a different perspective of I'm not who I used to be. Even how I carry myself, you know, how you carry yourself now. You know, if you are now, you live with Christ in you, you're Christ now. So, of course, you're not who you used to be. You don't operate the same way. You don't think the same way. You don't speak the same way. You know, and others can tell you're not who you used to be. I don't know about you. When you accepted Christ in your life, baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, speaking in tongues and, you know, allowing God to use you. I'm sure there were people that said, man, you've changed. There's something about you that's different. Even people on the outside that do notice that you had changed.
You know what? You know, I have to really be honest about it. You know, me accepting Christ in my life, it actually took some people that are in my life that influenced that.
Mm-hmm.
It took some people that were in my life that influenced that. And these people, you know, they didn't mean me any good. They actually did the opposite. They meant everything to be bad for me. Yeah, they did. So I'm just saying that about people that I associated myself with, you know, in the past. You know, they could have came from childhood friends. They could have been, I'm just saying, you know, people have definitely caused me to change. It's things that I would definitely put up with 5 years ago. It's things I would have put up with 2 years ago that I definitely would not put up with today. So I'm just saying that just to say that, no, I'm not. No, you can't try that. See, that might have worked 2 years ago. That might have worked 20 years ago. But, I'm not the person that I'm not.
I'm not who
the
I,
person
used
that
to be.
I used to be. Yeah, no, I wear Christ. I wear Christ. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to realize that even I can go back to my old self, you know, every night. <again. laughs> Hey,
come out.
You can go back to your old self. No.
Don't go back. You've come so far. Don't go back.
You know what I mean by go back, you know.
I know.
You know what I hear? You can take, now I'm not saying I'm this person, but I've always heard you say you can take the thug out the street, but you can't take the street out the thug. You know, they have a lot of revelation in there.
You can take the pastor out the pulpit, but you can't.
You can take the pastor out the pulpit,
but you can't take the pastor out. You can't take the pulpit out the pastor.
You messed that one up. You messed that one up. Oh man, we had that one going all good. But you know, people do cause you to be the person that you are today, and that's mm-hmm. that even includes being in Christ. Being in Christ, there are mm-hmm. certain places in life that you were at, and it could have been in a place of we were having Bible study, in a place of depression. You're in a place of depression because of the people that you are associated with in your life. These people that you're associated with, they have caused hurts and pains that seem to linger around for years and years, and these people are gone out of your life, but they have left all these hurt and pains that linger around in your mind.
Amen.
And you got to think to yourself, oh, my God, oh, my, this person is gone. And look, this person is gone, and I'm still feeling the same way about this person, as if they're just right around the corner, as if they knocked on the door or they picked up the telephone and called me today.
Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
It's possible.
It's very possible. You know, you're just going to tune in to the Preaching the Pastor show. We're talking about I'm not who I used to be. I used to be Diva Mac. I was the stand-up comedian. I did shows with Kevin Hart and D. Ray Davis. And I would get on stage and I would say whatever came to mind. There was nothing that I would say. There was no area that I wouldn't go when I was doing stand-up comedy. And the plays that I would produce, we would just go there and I would base my plays on it. I would call them the reality stage plays. We gave you what you came to see and more. It was always the word that was there for the people, but I was saying whatever I wanted, though I was different off stage. Now that God has called me in the 5-4 ministry, I'm not who I used to be. I won't dare get on stage and say what I want to say. I won't dare operate the way I used to operate as Diva Mac. Matter of fact, when God called me in the 5-4 ministry, I had to drop the name Diva Mac. I could no longer operate under that name, under that title, under that production.
Uh-huh.
God told me to drop the name. He's changing my name. He was changing my direction. Not that I wasn't able to do comedy anymore, right place, but he was doing a new thing in me. So if God is doing a new thing in you, you will not be the same person that you used to be. Your speech won't be the same. Like before, I can, you know, I'm a patient person, and I'm not quick to anger and to say things. But who I used to be, if you got me to that point, well, now I'm boiling over. I may say something, you know, I may go there, but now I'm so careful that if I get to that boiling point, that I don't let words come out of my mouth that I'm going to regret later. I won't let a cuss word come out of my mouth. It's angry. It may be at the boiling point to come up, but I will not, because I am not who I used to be. Though the music may play, I am not who I used to be. Though the drink may be on the table, I am not who I used to be. Now, come on now. I am changed. I thank God that I don't walk through same way I used to walk. That doesn't mean at times it doesn't come up. It doesn't try to, you know, resurface or show its its ugly head. But because I'm not who I used to be, I'm able to challenge that thing. I'm able to speak to that thing and cause it to flee. So I just thank God that I am changed and I'm not who I used to be. And I thank God for you and that you're not who you used to be. And you said something earlier, if you were 2 years ago, not who you are today, that you would have been ready for me. You know, you had to admit, you know,
right.
I'm not who I used to be.
That's
because
right.
If I was that old person, I couldn't be the man for you. I couldn't be, I wouldn't be ready to be a husband. I wouldn't be ready to be that man that God called me to be for you, being where I'm at. So I had to get you to a point to where you would be ready, and that means that you couldn't be the
old you.
Oh,
yes. But what we have to realize that when you are in Christ, and when you are a changed person, you have to realize that, you know, oh, man, I've been waiting on this all my life. It could be the house that you're in. It could be the marriage that, that you're in, the situation that you're in that's favorable for you. And you'd be thinking, well, why this didn't show up last year? Why it didn't show up 2 years? Or if it was 10 years ago, I would have never did that. Well, what we have to realize is that, you know, we should definitely thank God, you know, for not allowing our success to show up too early. Because if your success show up too early and you're not ready to receive it, you are in the position to tear it up and to tear it down, and it won't even be no good for you forever. You couldn't even be able to hold on to it or keep it because you were not ready, because you were the same person. God uses brokenness. He uses all different things, whatever he can use to actually build you up, to get you in that place to where he needs you to be for that people, that place where he wants you to be.
Yes, amen. Amen. You're just going to tune in to the Preaching the Pastor Show. We're talking about, I am not who I used to be. Some people are trying to get back to where they used to be, and some people are declaring that they will never be who they used to be. And we're just happy to be able to have this time together, that God has made it for us, available for us to have this time together, to come together. And we're just so excited. This time we're going to bring on our special guest. We have Prophetess Tressa Cooper with us today. Welcome, welcome to the show.
Amen.
Prophetess
welcome.
Tressa Cooper, how are you?
I am doing fine, and yourselves?
Wonderful, wonderful. We're so happy to have you on the show. Can you hear us?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you.
Good, good, good. We're so happy to have you on the show. We're talking about our topic is I'm not who I used to be. But I know that you're in the ministry. Tell us a little bit about your ministry. When did God call you in the fivefold ministry? How did you know that you were called? Was there any time that you wasn't sure if you were called, if you were? You know, a lot of us know when we are prophets, but some people, they're not sure about it, so somebody has to tell them. Tell us a little bit about your walk in the ministry.
Well, I got saved at a very, very young age. I got saved around about 12, maybe 13 years old at the time, but at the time, I was still dealing with me as a young girl and not fully understanding what they meant when they said that God is going to use you. There's something on the inside of me. So I grew up with not knowing and not fully understanding what that meant. That they'll tell you that when you're not saved, they'll show you, they'll tell you that I had a church mother and I love her so dearly. She let me know when I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And back in my day, I'm 50 years old, they look for utterance. You have to speak in tongues in order to know that you have been healed. That was the church of God in Christ. And so as I grew up, I was still dealing with issues. I backslid out of the church. Can I just be real with you? I stayed out of church. I was still in church. I stayed out of church. And it came back to the church until one day I was laying in my boyfriend's bed. And the Lord, speaking to the Lord this particular day, and because I was going through a lot, and I remember my spirit man ascending up out of that bed, and the reason why I know because I hit that bed hard, and so I knew God was dealing with me then. But the prophetic call, I didn't know anything about that. I knew about Jesus. I knew about what sanctification was, but I wasn't for sure of the call that was on my life. So in other words, I was preaching the work as an evangelist, but the office I was not certain. The office I was not familiar with. The prophetic side of it, I was not familiar with it. But until one day, the Lord, I left that day for my job. I went home, and the Lord had me reading the book of Hosea. And during that book, he showed me how Israel had committed harlotry, committed adultery against him in so many ways. And the Lord was showing me in the midst of that. Because every day, I believe for approximately 30 days or more, the Lord would purge me, the Lord would cleanse me, and I will go back down on the table again. I will go back and get on the table again, and I will sell myself. I will prostitute myself back to my lovers again in the name of Jesus. And the Lord told me, He said, I'm going to help you. As you give my word to everybody else, I'm going to help you save yourself. My God, but at the time, I was in a suicide state as well, because the world was coming behind this crushing in on me. And I remember the day I was sitting in the closet after the Lord had spoke to me. And I was sitting there, I was begging God to take my life, because nothing was going well with me. Nothing was going right. Now, mind you, I was still going to church. Mind you, I was still in the church. But that's a difference with me being in the church, but not in the church, but yet being in the church.
Right.
You can be connected to fellowship, but never be connected to God in the church.
Right.
And so I remember sitting on the floor in the closet. I had about, I don't know how many pills that I had in my hand that particular day. I was ready to take it. I said, God, if you don't take my life, I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, I got stuck in one place. I couldn't go forward. I couldn't go backwards. I couldn't go side to side. I was just stuck right there in my mind. And so the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're not fit to live, nor are you fit to die. And I just laid on those clothes in that closet, and I just cried. And I said, if I die today, I'm going to hell. If I live today, I'm still in hell. And so I was torn between two opinions. But then the Lord came, and he spoke to me. Since he spoke to me, he said, I'm going to help you deliver yourself by delivering everybody, delivering your family members, delivering people. I just need your ear, and I just need your voice, my God, in the name of Jesus. And all I had was a voice. All I had was an ear, and I gave it to God. And as I began to speak what thus said the Lord, the war really began to a battle in my mind. I was already warned, but the battle really became intensified in that, because they thought I lost my mind. I don't know what my family thought. I don't know what people thought, but just the idea that I was hearing from God and God was giving me what to say, but at the same time, I was being called and I was being ostracized. I was being criticized for being who I was. I didn't even know about the prophetic moment yet until somebody, a man of God, came and said, this is who you are and this is what God has called you to be. My God, in the name of Jesus, as I began to walk in that, and I'm going to try to make it real, real short. As I began to walk in that, I was still torn between myself and who God called me to be. Why? Because after that, I got married. My God, the battle really intensified there, even in my marriage and even in the church of being a prophet. My God, and then there was other prophets in this ministry that battled against me. My God, in the name of Jesus. So mind you, God had, I still had an ear and I still was speaking, but the suicidal mission was still not completed yet, in the name of Jesus. So I'm begging God to take my life, take my life and do this. I didn't want to be this no more. I didn't want to be this. That I don't understand. I didn't know what a father was. I didn't have a father. I didn't know what a spiritual father was. So they called me a renegade. They called me non-submissive. But I didn't understand. You can't give me something I don't understand. And don't expect something for me to do something if you really haven't sit down to explain to me what a spiritual father was. So I knew that I knew that absence of a spiritual father, and then I didn't really understand the presence of rephrase that. I knew the absence of my natural father, but I did not know the presence of a spiritual father. Why? Because I had neither one. So you really can't miss something you really haven't had. Because my dad died when I was 16 years old, so I'm still battling with child molestation. I'm still battling with that little girl in me. My God, in the name of Jesus, I went through a process of that sins from maybe 15 years of my marriage. My God, in the name of Jesus, I was torn in my marriage, about to lose my husband, about to lose my mind in the ministry, and in the process of it, I lost my mom. In the process of all of this that was going through in my mind, can I just be honest with you? I just came back together again just 3 years ago. God just started putting me back together again. God just started placing my identity about 3 years ago. Well, it was around 2017, in the name of Jesus, when my child ended up in jail. My God, and he said, I want you to preach his deliverance. I want you to get on live, and I want you to preach his deliverance. But I'm still hurting. I'm still bleeding. I'm still dealing with my past. I'm still dealing with the person I used to be, the victim. Come on, somebody. The victim of being raped, being molested. And then I get over into the world, to the church world, and that stuff is spilled over into the church world. Now I'm really dealing with more hurt. Now I'm dealing with more pain. I'm still dealing with more frustration. But after I got on the live, the Lord began to take layers and layers of that little girl out of me. That little girl that was crying out for a dad. That little girl that was crying out for her mom. That little girl that was crying out and nobody could understand why my response was the way I was responding, why I was angry. They called my anger disobedient. They called my anger, I'm just mad all the time. No, I was hurting. I was bleeding. And I had nobody. I didn't have nobody to really understand what I was dealing with from the inside. My God, in the name of Jesus. So God began to deal with me online as I began to deal with others and minister to each other, to other people. But I come to let you know that I come to full circle in this year of 2020, 2019 is when God began to give me my identity back. God began to take those layers from yesterday and many years ago off of me, the layers of the church, the layers of me being absent without my father, my natural father, my mom being deceased and gone since 2013, and my marriage is coming back together again. I mean, we've been married for 16 years, and I love my husband, but when you don't understand each other, you lose each other. Why? Because you're dealing with your own personal issues, and then you got your own issues, and so that thing is going to backfire on you. But on this season, I am living the best days of my life in my walk with God. God has so solidified me. Wow, God has so graced me in this time and in this season, and I am really enjoying the best days of my life. And I want to tell you, it wasn't so much that I was that little girl outside the church, but I was that little girl on the inside of the church. So my pains and my heartaches really intensified inside the church. That's why I entered and experienced my greatest trauma of losing my mind for 3 seconds, and my sister had to drive from one place to another to come and snatch me up out of my floor to bring my mind back together again. So therefore, it was in the church that I lost my identity. It was in the church that I lost myself. But now I'm back on this side again. I'm still here, and I'm still standing by the grace of God.
Amen. So let me ask you a question here, and I'm sure my husband has a question. We just want to allow you to be able to get all of that out. So, ma'am, we can go in there and see, because you said that He gave my identity back to me. Is that the same as saying I'm not who I used to be? Because at some point you lost your identity in the church. So now you have your identity back to relate to the topic. I am not who I used to be because now I have my identity back. What does that mean to have your identity back?
I know who I am in Christ.
Tell us who you are.
I am. I was in the body. And even though I was prophetically speaking as a prophet, but my identity had not connected with the calling that was really on my life. Why? Because I was still dealing with the little girl of molestation, all of these little things that I was dealing with. So when I came in this time, and what God is doing, he's really showing me my identity and who I am in him. He's let me know who I am, so he's really solidifying my identity of him and whose I am, and I'm really understanding now who I am and who God was trying to create me to be when I got saved at the age of 12. But I did not know that I had to go through all of this just to get to this point of knowing who I am, because I was in the church and I was prophesying, but the identity was not there. Why? Because I've been crushed all my life and I've been dealing with things. I don't need sympathy, but I'm just saying I was dealing with all this stuff, but I had not embraced the full calling that was on my life of who I was, of my spiritual DNA that God has placed on the inside of me. The day that I got saved, the day the Lord had filled me with the Holy Ghost at that time. Amen.
Amen, amen. And what is the name of your ministry?
My ministry is a teaching ministry. I have two different ministries. I have Tressa Cooper Ministry, and then I have, as a pastor, I have my ministry is Restoring Faith Worship Center here in Jasper, Texas.
Amen.
I've been a prophet since probably 2005. That's when I 1997 to be exact. That's when God. That was the time when I was literally trying to commit suicide, and so I began to embrace that, but not fully embracing the identity of it. When I say the identity of it, a lot of people are gifted, but you're not identified with your gift. You're not embracing the change of who you are within that gift. You know, I can be a prophet and still sing and not still be identified or walking in the truth, soundness of what you say or what you call as a prophet. My God, the foundation of the prophetic calling that's on your life. And so I just started walking in that, to be honest with you, in the last 3 years, because I fought hard against it. Why? Because so many people fought hard against me in that.
Let me talk about the weight of being a prophet.
Yes.
There's a weight, because I'm me being a prophetess as well, I understand there's a weight. You know, a lot of people, they want the gift, but they don't want the responsibility of the gift. They don't want what comes with the gift, because there's a weight. And I know I speak to a lot of other prophets that I go in and pray for and intercede for as well, that deal with, you know, depression and deal with, you know, moments of wanting to commit suicide, because the weight is, it becomes too much.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you deal with the weight? How do you deal with the weight?
In prayer.
In prayer.
Because it becomes overwhelming to me. And the enemy is coming and trying to press hard on me. I take it to God. I have learned, and I'm still learning, to take this to God, and I'm asking God daily on a day-to-day basis to show me how to stand against these attacks, how to stand against the spirit of oppression when, like, all the odds are coming against me, and it seems like nobody really fully understanding or what you're doing in my life, or even identifying the fact that this is what you call me, this is my stance, this is my spiritual DNA, this is my bloodline, this is who I am, and then have to deal with it by yourself. That's another suicide moment right there, having to deal with it by yourself, because God have a tendency of pushing everybody around you away from you just so he can deal with you. And then you look out like the days of Elijah. My God, when he saw, he looked out and he found what seemed like there was nobody around him, and he was fighting against this spirit of Jezebel. And so he went and ran from her, but not really knowing the power that God had placed on the inside of him to fight against that, and then himself, his own identity, if that makes any sense. Because a lot of times we fight against our own identity, which is the calling that God has called upon our lives.
That's true. I know my husband has a couple of questions for you over there. He's just waiting. Go ahead, love.
I just have one or two questions. Actually, I just have one question. My question is that if you find these thoughts, this depression of suicide, of these things that come up on you. But first, let me make a statement. If you find these thoughts of depression or oppression that's come up on you. What is happening is that Satan is using what worked in the past to be able to get you in that place to remember, to oppress you and to depress you so you can mess up, or you can slip, or you can get off the path that God has for you.
1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all cares upon him. What it's saying is, cast all your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you. Now, we have to realize that God loves us. You know, God loves you no matter what. He know all about it. He know all about it. He know all about what happened and what is happening. He sees you when you're in that place of where you feel like that you don't deserve. No, you deserve to live, and make sure that you live every single day according to his word. So since I said that, you know, I was just I wanted to ask you that question. When you find yourself, when you had find yourself in that place, you know, what was it that brought you through, or how did you overcome that spirit of suicide?
I remember the day I was laying in my bed in my bedroom, and I was turned towards the wall. And during this time, it felt like my whole life was in a downspin. It was just downspiring, just going down all the way. And I remember laying in the bed, and that's where I lived most of my days when I was really going through spiritually. I would lay there, and my husband was going through things, and it was like a spiritual attack day after day. It's like there was nothing. It felt like to me that there was no coming out of it. Every time I would try to get up, the spirit of oppression would just press me back down in the bed. And my husband, and I love him to death, he would think that I was being lazy. But when you don't understand, you can't see things spiritually, then, okay, that's the first thing will come to your mind, that I'm being lazy. I'm not getting up. I don't have no about myself. But I was going through something, and I was going through on all levels. I mean, every level that you can think of, financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, my God, psychologically, in every way that you did that I could think of. But that day, I laid in that bed, and a lot of people will not believe this, but a lion wrapped itself around me. The biggest lion that I ever seen in my whole entire life. The coat of that lion was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. The only thing I could see was the feet. The feet of it was so huge. The tail of it, I could not see even the tail of it. I just saw the tail middle part, but the end, I could not see the head of it. But I was face the wall. My face was face the window. And this animal came, and it laid around me. And he told me this. The Lord, the Spirit of God, spoke this to me. He said, you are the Lion of Judah. He said, you must rise up. But even though my mind had not caught it, but my spirit did. The oppression that I was going through, the depression I was going through, it hadn't subsided, but I knew what God was saying to my spirit. And I began to weep, and I began to cry, and the Spirit of God just began to encamp himself around me. But then I could see the tail of the lion just wagging his tail. I don't know what that meant. I have no clue of what that meant. But when I got up out of that bed and I went and saw one of my brothers in the church, I said, the Lord told me that I got one more praise in me. I got one more praise and take advantage of it. And that's how I began to get up. And mind you, this was just in 2000, probably 2 years after my mom had died. And my mom died in 2013 because it really hit me after she died. And so that's when I went through these things. But God raised me up right there in my bed. And then he really raised me up when my son went to jail. And I was out. That means I was battling with everything, y'all. I was battling. Everything was coming against me. And the enemy was literally trying to really take me out during this time, literally trying to take me out. And I wanted God to take me. Can I just be real with you? I wanted him to take me. I repented the day I got married. I just repented about everything. Everything.
We thank God.
We have someone that wants to chime in the conversation. We have a caller that wants to chime in on the conversation here. Let's go ahead and take a caller right now. We're going to open up the lines. Caller, you're on the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Last four digits, 1188. Hello, caller. Last four digits of your number is 1188. Okay, I guess they don't want to talk. All right. But anyway, back to you, Prophetess Chessa. We're going to take a music break, and we'll be right back. We have a segment in the show that's called Preach Preacher. And at this time, we allow each guest on the show, a prophetess, pastor, minister, to preach the word that God has placed on your heart at this time, whatever it may be. When we come back, we'll allow you that opportunity, 3 minutes, and just preach, preacher. We'll be right back, okay? Hold on with us, prophetess. Mm-hmm. All right, if you're just now tuning in to the Preach and the Pastor Show, we're talking about I am not who I used to be, and we're honored to have Prophetess Tressa Cooper on the show, and I'm just so excited about this opportunity and just being able to keep it real. My husband is here, Pastor Dorsey Manny is on the line as well, and we're just, you know, excited about being in this place and not being who we used to be so that we can be here for each other, being the renewed mind, the renewed person operating in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Something you want to say, sweetheart, please go ahead, and we're going to take our music break right after.
Caller that's on the line. Oh, no.
Oh, no. I did. I don't know what happened to the call, so we just didn't say anything.
Maybe a call dropped. Okay. Well, we pray for him. We pray for the caller that called in that had a question that's on the line. If you get a chance to call back, you know, definitely call us back. If you need prayer, definitely call us back. Or maybe you had a comment or something, you know, definitely give us a call back if you can.
All right, we'll take a little music break. We'll be back with Prophetess Tressa Cooper here on the Preacher and the Pastor Show. Stay tuned.
Now let's go to James with the weather. Today's forecast shows that those thunderstorms are finally moving out, and the rest of the week is going to be beautiful.
And the Pastor Show. We're talking about today, I am not who I used to be. We are Prophetess Tressa Cooper
so far so good, just the transformation. And, you know, in life there, we need hope. You know, we need people. You know, we so much that we need, but most of all we need God and a hold on God's unchanging hand. My love, what do you think about that? As we're talking about, I'm not who I used to be. And hearing Prophetess Tressa talk about, you know, all that she's went through, being a prophetess, you know, understanding and operating in her calling and, you know, the prophetic ministry, what that means to operate in the fivefold ministry and the hurt and the pain and the backside and the coming back and, you know, being back in the place where God has gave her back her identity and knowing who she is and operating in a gift that you, because you are a prophet as well as myself, and, you know, understanding the struggles and the weight of just operating that, but also knowing I'm not who I used to be, and wanting to stay in that place.
Well, one thing that we do have to realize that, you know, hey, we survived. Oh, we have survived.
Amen.
There's so many things that have tried to come against you to take you out of this place.
I don't know if your phone went on mute or something. Was your phone on mute? Because
no,
I didn't hear you for a minute. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, what I was trying to say is that we have to realize that we are not the same person that we used to be. And that is something that Satan, he definitely uses on what worked last time or the person that we used to be. He uses that because this battle that we fight each and every day, it's a spiritual battle. And it's a battle for your thoughts. It's a battle for your mind. Because in that place right there, that's where you can be controlled. That's where the oppression and the depression takes place. It's right there in your mind.
Amen.
Which causes your whole life to be spiraling in a way that you don't want it to be. And we should definitely, you know what I'm saying, be in mind for that the most powerful thing that you can do as a Christian is to think. And the things that you should think about is what you're laying your eyes on each and every day. You should think about the Word
Amen.
Of God and trust it and believe it and become it. Become that.
Amen.
And know that we are delivered. We are whole. We are delivered. We are redeemed.
Amen.
So the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and we should definitely do that each and every day.
Amen.
Decree and declare that I am the redeemed.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Again, if you're just going to tune into the Preaching and Pastor Show, which I am not who I used to be at this time, we bring to you Prophetess Tressa Cooper on Preach Preacher. Go ahead, Prophetess.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to encourage you that are going through, you that are facing whatever you're facing this evening. I want to tell you that you're not what you used to be. You're not who you used to be, not even in the church that you are. People might know what you go to. They might know what you've gone through, but you're not that person anymore. And I want to give you a scripture before we get off the air. I'm going to do within the 2 minutes. Amen. It says this mm-hmm. right here in Philippians 3:14. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press towards the mark for the high prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. So I don't look at what I used to be. I don't look at what I've used to, where I've been. I don't look at what I've identified myself with, but I look at what my place is now. What has God done for me now? And those are the things that I live on, what God has done for me now, what God has brought me from now in the name of Jesus. Then I move forward into those things right there by learning to love God more, by trusting God with my past, because even my past was meant for God's glory. My God, in the name of Jesus, my past was meant to edify God. My past was to bring somebody else and let somebody else know that if God did it for this little country girl right here, God can do it for you in the name of Jesus. I come to let somebody know that there's no partiality in God in the name of Jesus. He's the same God to yesterday, today, and forevermore. So I want to tell you this day, my God, in the name of Jesus, I want you to keep reaching. I want you to keep pushing. I want you to keep believing until you have met your identity.
opportunity, until you come to the fullness of God, until you have come to the full potential in God in the name of Jesus. Don't be concerned about what people say. Don't be concerned about what enemies say. You got to remember he's an accuser already. You got to remember that he's a liar already. So in this rock right here, we got to learn how to thrive. We got to learn how to push. We got to learn how to encourage ourselves. We got to learn how to keep on believing despite what the enemy trying to remind us of. I want to tell somebody, you're not who you used to be, my God. You're not where you used to be at. In the name of Jesus, even on yesterday, I want to tell you the time has changed. So whatever happened on yesterday, you're not that person that happened. That was yesterday. You're what God has created you in your now and in your purpose. And I pray this day that you will keep on thriving. You will keep on accelerating. You'll keep on pushing past those things that's trying to stumble you, past those things that's trying to hinder you, past those things that's trying to block you and deny you. Know who you are by revealing your weakness to God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. We definitely thank you so much for being on the show, and that those who are listening on tonight have been renewed and refreshed. And those who did not know or don't know who they are, where they are, and if they're in a place where, you know, people have talked them into believing that they have not changed, that they have not been called, that on tonight that they have been inspired and encouraged to know that, you know, God has called them. Because a lot of times people become discouraged them from being able to walk into their calling and walk and live a life that is upright. And so, Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your prophets,
oh, yes,
Lord God.
Thank
you. Thank you for our life, health, and strength. And Lord, we ask you right now, Lord God, that you would touch her life, Lord God, in such a way, Lord God, like never before, Lord God. Lord, that you would surprise us with your goodness on tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord God, that you continue to strengthen her and be with her in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Even those that are listening on tonight, Lord God, listening online as they call in, listening on the website, Lord God, Lord, we ask that you bless their life in abundance in the name of Jesus Christ with your peace, your joy, your happiness.
Oh, yes,
my God, there are so many people that need peace right now. There's so many people that are disturbed, that are operating in double-mindedness. Oh, Father God, I ask right now that let your peace come, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And Lord Jesus, baptize us right now in fire with the Holy Spirit. And fire, Lord Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus. Do this for your glory. Do this for the glory of your Father. Do this for the kingdom of God. Take us to a greater glory. Take us to a greater level right now. Let us experience what it means to be in the secret place of the Most High. Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you.
Oh,
Father,
yes,
God,
Father,
we just give all over to you, Lord. We thank you, Father God.
Thank you.
In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we pray. To God be the glory. Amen. And we all say amen.
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 Again, we thank you. We thank you, Prophetess Tressa, for
you
your
so
time
much.
On tonight. You definitely blessed the show tonight. I know for myself. What about you, Hudson?
Oh, yeah, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. And for you being in that place where you used to be, all that you said tonight, somebody is on here that listened to you. You're helping them to be able to go come out of that situation that they're in. There was a reason why God didn't allow you to perish, because you were supposed to give this message on tonight to somebody that needs to hear that. Somebody needs to hear that.
Amen.
We thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for
and
having me.
And I thank you so much, because we had an opportunity to talk before now, and the way we met, we had a chance, and you prophesied into my life, and I just thank God for you. And I'm just excited, and we look forward to having you back on the show to see what else God is doing in your life. I know, like I said, there's more to come, and I just look forward to hearing the testimony of all the greatness.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. All right. God bless you. Have a good night. We thank you for being part of the show tonight, the preacher and the pastor. We look forward to talking to you again. If you're just now tuning in to the preacher and the pastor show, we were just speaking with Prophetess Tressa Cooper, and she definitely blessed the show on tonight. As we were talking about, I am not who I used to be. And a lot of times people just see you where you are right now, not understanding all that you went through, all the suffering, all the pain. They just see where you are. They just see
where you are at this time, but they don't understand what you went through. They don't understand the shoes that you had to walk in to get there. They don't understand your pain that you had to endure to get to this point, to be who God has called you to be. So I'm so glad that she was on the show tonight so that people can hear, yes, I'm, you know, called on the fivefold ministry. Yes, I can prophesy. Yes, this and that. Yes, I'm married. Yes, you. But you don't understand. You don't know my story. You don't know my pain. You see me right now. You see me smiling. You see me in my house, but you don't know what I went through and what I used to be. But I thank God I'm not who I used to be. So I am who I am today because of God, because he didn't let me go, because he didn't give up on me.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Okay, husband. Food for thought.
Food for thought for tonight. What I do want us to understand is that whatever we expose ourselves to is going to determine how we think. Whatever you expose yourself to is going to determine how you think. And in a result of the things that you think about is going to determine how you feel. Now, this really means something. So whatever you're exposing yourself to is going to determine how you think, and your thinking is going to determine how you feel. And your feeling, you know, in the end will determine the decision that you will make. And the decision that you make is going to determine the actions that you take. And the actions that you take will determine your habit. These have become habits. And your habits determine your characteristics, and your characteristics determines your destination. So we must always be mindful. We must always be careful of who we give our thoughts over to, who we are letting to be in our mind, who are we are listening to, or what are we are reading, what we are laying our eyes on. And if we are in that place to where we are just, where we just can't come out, call on the name Jesus, because it's something about when you call on the name Jesus, he's there to rescue you and to bring you out. Just a little food for thought for tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, we talk about, and I always go to Romans 11, too, because everything's in your mind. It's all about your mind, your mindset, renewing your mind. So don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. So it's so important that we get that, because when we get it, then we got it, and now we can use it. Get it, got it, use it. So now that I get it, I got it, now I can use it. Now I can be transformed. Now I can be the person that God has called me to be. Now I can decree and declare that I'm not who I used to be. I'm not that drinker. I'm not that smoker. I'm not the one that's going to be out there. But I'm not the one that's going to try to tell you about yourself before I look at myself. I'm not that one. I am. And a lot of times people think when you say I'm not who I used to be, they're thinking, okay, the old has passed away, the new is now. But no, some people, the new, the better them has passed away, and then they turned it to something else that they don't want to be anymore. And people tell you, man, you're not who you used to be. You used to be this. You used to have it going on. Then you don't have it going on anymore. You know, I used to be, you know, at church, and I used to be operating in the spirit. Now I'm operating in a whole other spirit, and people trying to get to the new them, to renew them, to get back to where they used to be. You hear people all the time say, I'm backslid. I'm trying to get back to Christ. I'm trying to get back to God. I'm trying to get back in that place. They're talking about their mind, not so much as their physical body, but they're talking about their mind. Because once you get your mind there, then you can physically take yourself there. But it all starts in the mind before you can even move in the physical. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're just now tuning in to the Preacher and the Pastor show, you all, we thank you all so much for listening. Our topic, I'm Not Who I Used to Be, will make you want to just look at yourself and do a self-check, you know, self-evaluation, and see if you are at a point in your life, your mind, where you want to be and how you're operating, how you're thinking. And if you're not where you want to be at, which is in Christ, then you need to ask God to help you to get to that point. And when we get to the point where God wants us to be, then you're right in the right place to be where you need to be, to receive all that you need to receive from God. Place, and that's all in your mind. So we thank you all for tuning in. Please tune in tomorrow with us at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be back here at 8 p.m. On the show. I'm not sure who we have on tomorrow night, but I can guarantee you it's going to be a great show. So tune in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Standard. I think Nana and Willie Earl is going to be back. They've been in marriage counseling. Matter of fact, I think they're going to be back, because tomorrow we're going to be at marriage. What is it? The Thickness and the Thinness of Marriage Part 2.
tomorrow night. How about that?
What you think about that? Yeah, they need to be back on the show. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m., the Preaching the Pastor show. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow night. God bless you again. Thank you for tuning in.